through the book of Colossians. We're in chapter 2. This is the third session on chapter 2, and we're looking at verses 16 through 19, which asks the question, are we disqualified? Are we disqualified? So let's read the passage, starting with 16. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance, the reality, belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffing up without reason by his sensuous mind and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. In these four verses, Paul brings his argument against the false intellectualism of the Gnostic to a conclusion. Up until now, his point has been that their teachings are unnecessary in that the Colossian believers already have all the insight, wisdom, and understanding they need to receive Christ as Savior and to live godly lives. He has told them they do not need to follow the Gnostics. Now he shows them the danger of doing so. In verse 18, it tells them that following such teachings disqualifies them from the Spirit-filled life of faith. The implication is that the Gnostic teachings will kill their simple, pure faith in Jesus Christ, and for new seekers, it may prevent them from coming to saving faith. He has just told them in verse 15 that their victory is won by Christ's death on the cross, but to fully understand this victory, they must walk in faith and obedience until his victory is fully realized at his return. The Gnostics spoke little of the second coming as they emphasized their special wisdom and rituals. So in verse 16, the Colossians are told not to be concerned when others pass judgment on them. Types of food and drink, special rituals at the new moon or Sabbath, and such activities have no value in the life of faith. Christ is the real substance of truth. Now here's the point in verse 18. Following the teachings of so-called higher knowledge can disqualify you from reaching salvation by faith alone. One translation says such teaching may trick you out of your reward. Another translation says defraud you by leading you away from the gospel of faith and essentially substituting a works-based salvation. Hebrews 11:6 tells us without faith it's impossible to please him. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. You do the believing, he does the rest. You do not earn his favor by rituals and celebrations. You already have it. Romans 14:23 tells us that whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Again, it's not what you do that pleases him. It's belief in what he has done that gives him the opportunity to use you as he sees fit. You are his agent, his tool, made righteous by his gift of new life in you. When all the rituals, celebrations, rules, and regulations dominate your mind, they crowd out his effort to use you by faith. The focus of your faith is the head of the body, meaning Jesus Christ. Self-righteous and self-important teachers with new wisdom detract from this truth. They detract in or interpret spiritual growth. John Calvin said, if diverted from the simplicity of Christ, we are cheated from the blessing of being led by the Spirit. We need no other mediator or mediatorial activity to reach Christ. He is in us and knows us. When we allow such activity to enter into our lives and displace him, that is sin. Wiersbe tells us the flesh is weak in doing spiritual things, but the flesh is strong in practicing rules and regulations. It seems to be the right thing for the natural man to do. Rules, regulations, and religious practices do not change the heart. These things are attractive and can be measured, but bring a false sense of success and obstruct the Holy Spirit from using us as he pleases. Ultimately, it's what he wants to do through us, not what we think he wants us to do. Finally, the Colossians needed to be reminded that the measure of success is Christ. Let's look briefly at Ephesians 4, starting with verse 11. And he gave the apostles, prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's our measure of success, by the way, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. How do we stack up, if you will? How do we compare to Christ as we grow and more and more, more and more like him? So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Don't be distracted from the pure and simple truth of the love of Christ, for that is the most important thing for you to remember. So, Father, thank you for this reminder that this whole story of salvation is profound and required tremendous amounts of effort, tolerance of pain, and all with your death and burial and resurrection and all that you went through. But these are just reminders to us of how simple it is in our part. What we do is believe and receive. And if that is what we sincerely do from a heart of hearts, we get a new heart that can learn from you and worship you in ways that we could never imagine otherwise. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.